it is time to bring in Jim Lynch and cover your assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And we bring him in this morning. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you and everybody out there. How you doing?
We're doing fine.
Fantastic. I'm a little gloomy besides the weather. I think, I don't know, I'm over the trying to do my best and trying to keep an equal keel regarding the President of the United States. As I said on one of our previous shows, in terms of people running on the Democratic side, I was hopeful that they could primarily get to the issues and deal with the issues. But I have now come to the point where, yes, certainly take care of the issues, but my main point is we must acknowledge who President Donald Trump is, and we must begin with greater awareness to move into positions that will help us to deal with him in whatever way we can, voting certainly, writing congressmen and senators, writing local officials, and so forth. Too many people, in my opinion, have just wished for a better day as they looked the other way. A lot of people have thought of Trump as some anomaly and, he's joking, he needs attention. Sounds stupid, but he's sincere. He really speaks out, speaks his mind. It's great speaking your mind. Nobody doubts that, freedom of speech. But when you speak to incite violence and insurrection, which Donald Trump has been doing now for quite some time, going back to the primaries, continuing on with throwing people out of his meetings, and if you punch them, I'll pay the legal bills. You know, lots of people, including the media, have really just glided over this for just too damn long, and it's time to stop. The latest thing, I guess, that really got to me was his reference to Charlottesville, where we had that march. Biden brought it up, and very appropriately brought it up, because Trump has never disavowed the people who were marching. The people who were marching were using a term called blood, B-L-O-O-D, and soil, S-O-I-L. It was a term that was used in Germany in the late 1900s through about 1925, when there was a debate in Germany whether that kind of attitude, which I'll explain in a minute, should prevail. Thankfully, unfortunately, it did prevail. And there were two separate divisions, and one said no and one said yes. And what blood and soil connotates is the return of the German people to the soil, the farmland, and they viewed people at that time with corporations and businesses as communists, which was totally ridiculous. But that said, that's what they were doing. They were in the throes of coming off the First World War, where the Germans paid high reparations for the war and were kind of destitute in a big recession/depression of their own. However, this blood and soil was a term that this fellow Darre, D-A-R-R-E, created. And you can look all this up on the Wikipedia, and I really hope you do. In any event, Hitler, who was beginning his political journey, adopted blood and soil, and then the Nazi Party adopted it as a way of castigating Jews. Jews being the first target of Nazism. They then went on to other things, like people who were crippled or mentally ill or impoverished. But blood and soil was the chant at Charlottesville by these white men who had little torches. And Donald Trump initially said, after somebody got killed there and there was a riot, oh, well, both sides are good people. Well, you know, I guess the rest of the world looks at us sometimes here in America as damn fools, in that the other side was marching. They were on television. They were creating fights for no reason. White supremacy, a word which is going to really gather a lot of conversation, was what they were all about. Now, Trump would not disavow it, which means he definitely supports white supremacy. By that act as a president, he definitely supports white supremacy. And in the process, whether he knew the term or not, as the president of the United States, he's supposed to find out what it meant. So therefore, since he hasn't corrected himself, which he did not do in his speech that he made recently, which I'll get into, we must deem him an anti-Semite, you know, against Jews. That said, Trump, after Biden called out Charlottesville recently, Trump doubled down and said, oh, you know, what I meant was those people, they were just honoring the statue of General Robert E. Lee, you know. That was it, you know, no big deal. Well, Robert E. Lee was a white supremacist. There's an article in the Atlantic. It's posted now. It's from 2017 that tells the story of Robert Lee. It's called The Myth of Kindly General Lee, and it points out that over the years since the Civil War, the Southerners have painted Lee with a delicate, positive brush, primarily Southerners who could never get over the fact that they lost their key asset in making money, namely blacks who they had enslaved. That said, General Robert E. Lee was a loser. He lost the Civil War. He was a traitor to the Union. He was a traitor to the United States of America. This is all documented. This is history. This is not a feeble comment. The point is, once again, the president, who chooses to be ignorant, even though he's evil, decided that, Robert Lee, he was a great guy. That said, the writer of this is a fellow named Adam. This is in the Atlantic. Adam, S-E-R-B-E-S, I believe. And you can get it up. The deal is this. We have to stop this accepting this incitement to violence. Violence, period. It's against Jews, but it's against everybody. Muslims, people are coming across the border. You can't be the leader of a corporation or a government and say to other people, other citizens, say to citizens, well, you know, that guy's no good. Let's beat him up. Let's throw him out. Let's castigate him verbally. So, folks, I hope I'm helping you, if you haven't already, get into greater awareness in terms of this man. And we must get rid of this man. I don't care how we get rid of him, but we must get rid of him. When I say I don't care how we get rid of them, we could just go through this year and begin to see people finally demonstrating that they're decent human beings and decent Americans and speaking out and swaying the vote so that he gets decisively beaten. My fear is that he could do something very dangerous to this country. You know, this man, he does have a shot at pushing the button. Okay, he can engage foreign powers and say, okay, we're buddies now, and we're going to share our information. He can do these things. He's the president. He's proven that he does not believe in the rule of law. He does not believe in the laws that have regulated this country for several hundred years and made us, warts included, a very successful democratic nation. So please raise your awareness, and I would suggest in your communities, in your churches, in your synagogues, that you begin to talk out about this thing, that you begin to enlist people in groups to begin to plan how you're going to subsequently demonstrate, be it through letters or marching or whatever. We saw how successful the Me Too March was in Washington. I certainly hope we're going to have a couple of those beginning in June and maybe through the fall. That's all I have for the moment. This is a crisis point, and if you don't want to, if you want to put your head in the sand, everybody's entitled to do whatever they want to do. But please, don't put your head in the sand.
You know, it's there's a lot of meat on the bone to chew there. I mean, what the Democrats have to do, what Hillary Clinton did unsuccessfully, even though she won the election. She lost it by the Electoral College. She had over 3 million more votes. What she did wrong was focus in too much on a few things that Donald Trump said. I think what the Democrats have to do, if they're very smart, is the candidates have to provide opposing legislation, like Bernie Sanders has done. Whether you like Bernie Sanders or not, you take a look, and all his stump speeches and everything in print puts forward what he thinks and how he thinks and the programs that he would like to initiate. I think any of the strong contenders should do that, and that would be Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Mayor Pete. I'm going to try to pronounce his last name. But in a second phase, the Democratic National Committee should start earning their money, and they are the ones that go out, and they are the ones that should pay for opposition research and find out things that if they want to attack Donald Trump on a basis of what he has said. I think the two should be split, because I think it takes away too much from a positive message of change in a direction when the candidates are going to be debating two different times, 10 people on a stage each time. I think mixing in all the personal attacks that you can make on Donald Trump with positive platforms would be a mistake. I think you leave the other thing up to the Democratic National Committee, and you leave the candidates up to provide their platforms and their political differences with Donald Trump.
I see some very easy issues to use if indeed they're used effectively, which helped my case for getting rid of Trump, at least by election time. And it starts with wage inequality, which unfortunately a lot of Trump's followers got sucked into believing that he was going to give them a lovely tax cut. Well, he didn't, but he did give a tax cut of 14% to the wealthiest people in the nation. To kind of put a spoke in the average American's eye, there are a lot of people who are in unions. If you are a union member, you can no longer deduct your union dues as an expense. But catch the other side of it. If you are a self-employed person and must belong to a union for some reason, you can deduct it. Once again, Donald Trump beating up on the little person, as he's been doing with health care. People are frightened that they will lose their health care, that they will lose benefits from illness that occurred before they engage in the insurance. Now, a decent human being who's running the country would say, look, unequivocally, I swear on an oath that I will not take that away. But he doesn't. He flirts with it with his complicit Republican people. So we've two things that hit at most human beings in this country. A decent wage and health care. And I certainly would want to add in the environmental, but I'd say let's leave that out because, you know, the way we're going right now, the middle class is going south in terms of their earning power, in terms of their accumulating money for retirement. They're going south. We're becoming impoverished. We're finding out that more and more people, as they get older, need more and more sophisticated health techniques, which unfortunately our government has allowed the medical industry, the drug companies, you'll pardon the expression, to rip the eyeballs out of the common citizen in terms of pricing. So these are issues, and I think I said this before or to somebody, we need whoever is running and saying, I want to do a good job for you, to have very simple sentences and to say them over and over and over again. And we need from the Democratic National Committee, probably let's get rid of Tom Perez and let's get in there somebody who will do everything legal to win. One of them is to get on Fox News, do primaries on Fox News. Why? Fox News has an incredibly large audience. And whether I or anybody else likes some of their commentary, that's not the point. The point is, if we want a leader, we want a leader of the whole country, and we want people who have a very narrow view of things to get a larger view of things so that they can participate in the election and we can all come together. We can't agree on everything. If we did, we wouldn't have brains. We'd be robots. That said, Perez must go. And this 40, I think, colleges throughout the country, their student body, I can't remember the name of it, but they're basically protesting the Democrats trying to say that, you know, you can't run, catch this now, you can't run against another Democrat who's in office. Well, that's baloney. That's anti-democratic. And I think the young people will win. Obviously, AOC has inspired fear in the hierarchy of the Democratic Party. Well, we don't need any hierarchies. We need action. We've watched these people placate corporate interests, big mouths like Trump, for too long. We now need to have people speaking and acting for the people.
Well, it was interesting.
And the Constitution says the government is of and for the people. Well, we've allowed the corporations through various and sundry ways to take a lot of that power away from the people. We have to get it back. Right. And we have to get it back by appealing to people's basic needs, the need to work, save, be healthy, and productive for the country. It's pretty damn simple. Right. And this divisiveness, when we went to the Second World War, that war brought us together because we had common cause. I say right now we have common cause to do away with the hater and his colleagues in the White House. We must get rid of this man. He's a cancer. He's a cancer on our society. He's a cancer on anybody who listens to him and doesn't step outside themselves and say, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong that this man is castigating other human beings. This man is letting young little kids suffer. This man is castigating women who are going for abortions. It's their right.
All right. And, well, we are out of time.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah, you went through a lot of topics there.
Well,
how do you feel better, though? You did say you were feeling gloomy at the start. I hope that having been able to express yourself has helped your sleep.
This has been one of your longest vents.
Well, you know, I am getting younger.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyhow, I love you too.
All right, take care, Jim.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
See you.
Bye bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. Remember, opinions expressed are those of Jim, myself, or Jill, and don't represent the underwriters, the other volunteers, or employees of Robinhood Radio, Robinhood Radio Network, Tri-State Public Communications, The Bargain Barn, or CATV 6 or CATV 252.